Okay, ladies, so there's a number of new women who've joined the Shir tonight. Thank you very much. I hope that you'll enjoy it and we'll learn together and grow in Torah, which is kind of what I think God wants from us on this planet. That's why we're here. What we are doing is we're studying Masechet Sukkah. And the women who have been part of the Shir from the beginning of the year, we've spent a lot of time on the height of the sukkah, right? A sukkah can't be taller than 20 amot tall. That's approximately 40 feet. A sukkah also has to have a minimum height, that the wall has to be 10 tfachim. And now the Gemara is moving into a different direction, and that direction is the number of walls of the sukkah. So just to do something very cute with you, how do you spell the word sukkah? It's not a trick question. Well, it sort of is a trick question. How do you spell the word sukkah? Anyone? Yael? Samach Vav Kaf Hey, right. So that's a good way of spelling sukkah. You could also spell sukkah without the Vav, nachon? Well, here's the cool thing, okay? And this is relevant for our Gemara. Let me just go like this. If I spell sukkah, right, like this, right, with a samach and a kaf and a hey, so how many walls, so to speak, are with that samach? Right, a samach would be the equivalent of four walls, no? A kaf is the equivalent of, not your question, three walls. And the hay is the equivalent of two walls, two complete walls, the ta and plus one little bit. No? That's really going to be a major theme of our Gemara. They quote this idea in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that a sukkah can have four walls, or three walls, or as we'll see, two walls and a little bit. That's all possible within a sukkah, and that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. How many walls does your sukkah have to have? By the way, it's sort of a trick question in the sense of, if you have a samach that's closer to a circle, I can't ask you how many walls there are in a circle, because, right, we've all been through this, and there's no real answer. Okay, chevra, let's go. Let's begin the Gemara from the two dots. V'she'ein la shalosh tefanot. Right, the Mishnah says that a sukkah that does not have three walls is invalid. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtayim keolchason ushlishes afilu tefach. The Tanakama holds that when I talk about three walls for a sukkah, it means two proper walls, and the third wall can even be a tefach. A tefach is the rough equivalent of like 3 inches. So you need two proper walls. The third wall is a smaller wall, even a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh kehochatan, Revi tafilu tefach. Rabbi Shimon says that no, you need three complete walls, and the fourth wall is a tefach. Right? That's basically what we have. So, there's a machlokes. Is it two walls plus a little bit, or three walls plus a little bit? That's the basic issue that the Gemara discusses. As a matter of halacha, we will follow the opinion that it's two walls and a little bit, but the Gemara is trying to analyze what's the basis of this dispute, whether it's two plus or three plus. So, zok the Gemara, b'may komiflagi, what's a machlokes? Rabbanan savar yesh aim la masoret, Rabbi Shimon savar yesh aim la mikra. Okay, so I need someone to translate these terms for me. The Rabbanans hold yesh aim la masoret, and Rabbi Shimon holds yesh aim la mikra. Yael, you want to take a stab at it? Correct. Which means the Masoret is the way that it is written in the Torah scroll. Right, Masoretic text. Right, Masoretic text means that, like, it's based on the way it's written in the scroll. So Yesh Eim L'Masoret means... Right, what does the word Yesh Eim mean? So Rashi sort of deals with this, no? Look at the Rashi, Yesh Eim L'Masoret. Right, the Rashi writes... Kamasha katav Moshe umasar b'sefer Torah liYisrael hi ha'aim v'ha'ikar v'lo kimoshe hu nikra. Rashi says aim means the mother and the ikar and the main thing. So yesh aim l'masoret means the main thing is the way it's written. Right? Oftentimes the Torah writes something and the word is written one way and it's pronounced slightly differently. Which one is my ikar? Which one is the aim? Right? Rashi says aim means the ikar, the main thing. So which one is the ikar? Is the masoret the ikar? Do I... Now, and Tosfos over here, I didn't assign this Tosfos because it gets involved in like many different gemaras that's very far-reaching. But Tosfos develops the idea that... Everyone holds that there is value in the way the word is written, and there is value in the way we pronounce the word. Both are important. Both are significant. But I've got a problem. My problem is sometimes I have a bit of a contradiction between the way I would derive halacha if I'm focused on the way the word is written, and the way I would derive halacha if I am focused on the way the word is pronounced. One such situation of that is Sukkah Daf Vav Amud Beis that we're learning now. So, what we have over here, Zakh the Gemara, is Rabbanon Savri Yesh Eim L'Masoret. The Rabbanon hold that a Sukkah is a total of three walls, two complete walls and one little wall. That's because they hold Yesh Eim L'Masoret, but Rabbi Shimon holds Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Rabbi Shimon makes the drasha based on the way the word is read. And now the Gemara speaks this out. Questions, comments, observations, jokes, anyone before we go on? Jokes are worth many more points than questions and comments and observations. Okay? So, the Gemara says, Rabbanon Savri Yesh Eim L'Masoret. The Rabbanon hold that we focus on the way the word is written in the Torah. Now, there are three psukim in the Torah that have the word basukot. Right? And Rashi actually speaks this out. There is basukot teshvu shivat yamim. Right? Basukot teshvu. Then there is kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. Then there is Lema'an Yedu'u Dorotechem Ki Basukot Hoshavti Et B'nei Yisrael. I have that word Basukot written three times in the Torah. Twice in the Torah, the word Basukot is written deficient. It's written without a Vav. One time, it's written with a Vav. By the way, the Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin has like the same exact formula with respect to tefillin. Tefillin in the Torah is totafot. Sometimes tefillin is written totafot, tet-tet, fe-tuf. Sometimes there's a vav thrown in there. The problem is over there, not over here, the problem over there that the Rishonim note is the Gemara is working with totafot, totafot, twice with the vav and one time without a vav, and in our Sifrei Torah it's not like that. So that's kind of advanced Talmud. That's a real problem. There are many problems to this effect. Those of you who are taking Bible in the Bernard Riffel Graduate School will probably encounter this issue at some point, that our Torah scrolls are not exactly the same as the Torah scrolls that Chazal have. That's true in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet. It happens in Sukkah Daf Vav. It works out. Because in Sukkah Daf Vav, it says, Basukot, Basukot, Basukot. There are three times in the Torah that says Basukot. Twice it is deficient, twice without the Vav, and the third time is with the Vav. So says the Gemara, Harekan Arba. this equals 4. Who wants to explain to me how basukot, basukot, basukot equals 4? Someone else besides Yael. Yes, Rachel Gutman. Rachel, what's the name of the person sitting next to you? Rachel. And you are? Next to you is? Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Okay. Exactly. Right? So basukot without a vav is 1, and the basukot with the vav is 2. So 1 plus 1 plus 2 equals 4. Harekan arba. Dal chad legufei. We'll take one pasuk away for itself. Remember, the Torah has to tell me that there's an obligation to sit in the sukkah. So one of those 4 we'll throw away. And then, pashalahu tlasa. So then I have 3 that remain. And 3 teaches me, shtayim kehilchasan. That teaches me that 2 are proper walls. Vasai hilchasa vigarasa l'shlishis v'ukma atefach. And then the halacha l'moshe misinai comes, and it reduces the third wall, and it makes the third wall be the size of only a tefach. Now, right, really what we have is a total of 4. But 4 becomes 3 because the Torah has to tell me you got to sit in the sukkah. Okay, so now I have 3. So 3 means 2 plus a little bit. Because there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that comes and tells me that the sukkah wall is not a complete wall. Right? Va'asai hilchasa. The halacha l'moshe misinai tells me that the third wall is not a complete wall. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Asai hilchasa begarisa l'shlishes v'ukma atefach. Okay, I want to come back to this in like 1 minute, but I want to first focus on Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, however, holds Yesh Im La Mikra. Reb Shimon says that I focus on the way the word is read. So if I have basukot, 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 right, and I read it, so how many do I have? Zakti Gemara. Hare Kan Sheish. There are 6. Because each basukot is 2. Right? The smallest thing that is plural is 2. I learned this at some point in life. Right? So, basukot, each one is 2. Dal chad kra legufei, one entire pasuk, is necessary to teach me that you have to sit in the sukkah. So, therefore, pashalahu arba, if I take away one complete pasuk, so I have only 4 that remain, and that tells me shalosh kilchason, 3 are proper walls. Asai hilchasa v'garasa l'revias v'ukmasa atefach. Right? And the halacha l'moshe misinai tells me that I reduce that fourth wall and I make it a tefach. So if I kind of summarize this Gemara, so the Rabbonon say, yesh eim l'masoret, I follow the way the word is written, so I have a total of 4. 4 becomes 3. 3 becomes 2 plus a little bit, because the halacha l'moshe misinai reduces it, no? And the Reb Shimon says, no. Reb Shimon says, yesh eim la mikra, that the main thing is the way the word is written. If the main thing is the way the word is written, so therefore I have a total of 6. I'll take away a complete pasuk. That means I have a total of 4. 4 becomes 3 plus 1, etc. Ad kan. Does this resonate with anyone, or does anyone have major problems from this Gemara so far? Yael? Okay, so I'll agree with that this is not the way we would think logically. You should know when Yeshiva started the Gris Kollel in Israel, so Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, was discussing what should be the curriculum in the Gris Kollel, and his original suggestion was that the curriculum should be how drushos work. How do Chazal go about getting from place A to place B? Then Rav Aaron realized that this was too hard even for him, and that's why they didn't do it. So I agree with you. Like, drushos don't seem to make much sense. Denny, you have a... Is it Denny? Is that the pronunciation? Dini. Okay, hi. Nachon. The halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai does not say the number of walls. The halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai just tells me that one of the sukkah walls is small. That's the way Rashi learns. Right? Let's look at Rashi Hilchasa. Right? The Rashi is like 6 lines after there's like a little picture. 1, 2, 3. 7 lines after there's a little picture in the Rashi. Hilchasa, Rashi writes, Hoda aminon la'el halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai lahachi nami itmar lei. When we said earlier that the walls of a sukkah are halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, part of that halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai is that the third wall or the fourth wall or whatever that extra wall is a smaller wall and is only a tefach. That's what Rashi says. Now, everyone and their aunt jumps up and down and they spit wooden nickels. And they say, Rashi, I don't know what you're talking about. You see, the Gemara, I mean, many of you were not here last week when we did this. Even those of you who were here, I think we kind of ran through this. The Gemara says that the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai of mechitza, right? There are three things that's halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai. The Gemara says that Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin are halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, right? This is what we spend time on. So, Shi'urin means that you eat a kezayis, etc. Chatzitzin, we spoke about, it's like a chatzitza when you go to the mikveh. And Mechitzin, so the Gemara says that the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai of a mechitza involves, here, you could look at the words, it's those three words, four words, right before the two dots, right before where we started tonight. The Gemara says the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai is for gold, lavud, and dofen akuma. Right, three technical halachot. Gold means if I have part of a wall, so the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai allows me to use my halachic imagination and draw that wall all the way up. Lavud is if I have parts of a wall, and they are within three tfachim of each other. So halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai says seal it up. And dofen akuma is this complicated case that we discussed earlier. If you have some pasul schach, we allow you to view the pasul schach like it's an extension of the wall, so you could have a curved wall. That's what the Gemara said right before the two dots. So everyone asks on Rashi, they say, Rashi, I love you, you're a great guy, but how are you telling me that there's a halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai that a tefach is sufficient as a mechitza? The Gemara earlier never said that a halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai, right? The Gemara says, what's the halacha l'moshe Mi-Sinai? It gives me three things, gold, lavud, dofen akuma. None of those three things say tefach. So the Rashash, by the way, the Rashash, who was he? When and where did he live? So the Rashash was Reb Shmuel Strashun. He lived in Vilna. There's a famous thing called the Strashun Library. What's his name? Just wrote a book about the Strashun Library. I think Harvard University Press a couple months ago just published a book. It was like a famous library in Vilna. Some people don't like the Rashash. They say he wasn't the Talmud Chacham. The only reason why they put him in the back of the Gemara is because he had a massive library and people used his library, so they kind of put him in the back of the Gemara because of that, but he didn't really belong there. That's absolutely not true. The Hasidim don't like the Rashash, because the Rashash in a few places has anti-Hasidic comments. He was from Vilna. You can't blame him, right? That's the way life is. But the point is, The Rosh Hashanah in the back of the Gemara is bothered by this question. How can we say that the halacha l'Moshe Misinai is a tefach, right? Our Gemara says, Hilchasa means that I reduce the wall. The halacha l'Moshe Misinai says that the wall is a tefach. So the Rosh Hashanah asks, what do you mean that the halacha l'Moshe Misinai says that the wall is a tefach? Right? We read a few lines ago, halacha l'Moshe Misinai is good, lovu, dofen, akuma, doesn't say tefach. Right? The word tefach isn't there. So what's going on? That's the question that they ask on the Rashi. So the Rashash answers, interestingly, the Rashash answers that he thinks the idea of a tefach is actually the same idea as good. Let me just go back to my whiteboard and I'll show this to you for a second. Okay, remember, good basically means that if I have a wall, right, I can extend it. Right, that's good. I can extend the wall. Rashi is saying that part of the halacha l'Moshe Misinai is that the third wall of a sukkah can be a little wall of a tefach. Right? So the third wall, we could say, is going to be right over here. Right? That little area that I just circled. That could be the third wall, one tefach. The Rashash says, you know what? That idea that the third wall can be a tefach is also a type of good. It's a type of wall extension. You see, I can extend things two ways. I can have a short wall that I extend the height of, or I could have a wall that is very narrow, and I could use good to widen it. So this is a tefach, and I'm widening it. I'm using my halachic imagination to make that wall wider. Says the Rashash, this is really the same idea as good. Right? Good, again, means that we extend walls. Usually I use that to be a case, let's say I have my schach all the way up here, so I extend the wall the height. But the idea that the wall can be a tiny wall, just one tefach, that really means that I'm extending the length of the wall. It's the same idea. Good just means like you pull it, no? You imagine that the wall is halachic putty. So I could pull stuff up or this way. Right? That's the Rashash's explanation for the Rashi. That Rashi is basically telling me that there's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai of a tefach. And the Rashash is commenting that this really fits in with the previous Gemara, that Rashi is just using the word good in a slightly different way. Inhale. Good. Now. I don't know if it's worth getting into because it might sidetrack us a teeny bit at this point. But the Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel is the earliest commentator on Shas. No? Rabbeinu Chananel is from Kairouan in northern Africa. We have this tradition from the Sefer HaKabbalah of Abraham ibn Daud, that there were Arba Shvuyim, that there were four people on the boat and they were captured, and that's how Jews ended up in northern Africa. Right? It's like a big mystery, no? How did Jews end up? Right? You did this in Jewish history, Yael? You're shaking your head like you've heard this. You have to know who the people are. So Rabbeinu Chananel was, again, we don't know how the Jews end up getting from Iraq to northern Africa. We're not sure. So there's some tradition out there that there were four rabbis on the boat and the boat capsized and the four rabbis ended up in four different communities in northern Africa, and Rabbeinu Chananel ended up in Kairouan and he wrote the first commentary on Shas. He died in 960. When was he born? I haven't got the foggiest idea. No one knows when anyone was born. You only know when they die. Now, Rabbeinu Chananel over here uses the word hilchasa not to mean halacha l'Moshe Misinai, but he says the hilchasa refers to a gemara in Nida about a certain group of halachot. It's not really a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It's unconnected to the previous gemara. That's what the Rabbeinu Chananel said. It's interesting to note, it's different than the way Rashi learns the Gemara, but And according to Rabbeinu Chananah, we don't have to deal with the same problem that the Rashash acknowledged within Rashi. Okay, so far so good, Chevra. What we have over here is a machlokes. Reb Shimon says a sukkah is three complete walls and the fourth wall is a shorty. The fourth wall is a tiny wall. And Chachomim, the Rabbanan, say no, a sukkah is three walls in the sense of two complete walls and the third wall is a shorty. Version one of the Gemara is that they are disputing whether yesh em la mikra or yesh em le masoret. The ibayis ema. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. You have the place, Chevra? The ibayis ema. By the way, I'm never sure. Do people prefer Ashkenazis or Sfardit? I'm a switch hitter. I learned to read Hebrew in Sfardit. I leaned in my bar mitzvah at Sfardit. At some point, I changed to Ashkenazis. I was the worst bal kori. I used to lean like every Shabbos on my shul from my bar mitzvah until like I got married. And I was the worst bal kori in history. Those couple of weeks when I was changing from Sfardit to Ashkenazis, it was awful. I don't know why they didn't pelt me with esrogim or something. But okay, what can we do? Now, Ibai Yasema. Oh, so do people prefer Sfardit to Ashkenazis? Thumbs up for Sfardit? That's like a sideways. That doesn't count. Okay. No one, everyone's being non-committal. Okay, so you know what I'll do? I'll do half of the time Sfardit, half of the time Ashkenazis, like to keep you guessing. Ibai Yasema. Dekuli yama yesh em la mikra. Right? The second approach is that everybody holds yesh em la mikra, which means that the halacha follows the way the word is pronounced, is read. V'hacha b'hacha miflegi. Mar savar schacha ba'ikra, umar savar schacha lo ba'ikra. One says schach requires a pasuk, and the other one says schach does not require a pasuk. Okay. So let's try to figure this one out. This is hard. If you hold yesh em la mikra, so how many things do I have to work with in total? Yesh em la mikra, I follow the way the word is read, is pronounced. Six, right? I have six things in total. So far, so good? Now, there's a question. Does schach need a pasuk, or does schach not need a pasuk? That's the issue at hand. So someone try to plug this one in and explain what is going on here. Remember, there's a dispute. Is the sukkah total four walls or sukkah total three walls? Everybody holds, I'm starting with six. Yesh em la mikra. And the only dispute is, does schach need a pasuk or does schach not need a pasuk? Anyone want to try to plug this in? This is actually not easy. Okay. Okay, so that's absolutely true. In other words, the idea that schacha lo bayakra, that schach doesn't require any pasuk, is that idea is based, is almost like a fundamental principle in Hilchos Sukkah. Like Rashi writes on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it's only called a sukkah because there's schach. Like, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that there's schach. If you don't have schach, it's not a sukkah. If you don't have schach, it's a hut, it's walls. It's not a sukkah. Sukkah means schach. So that's absolutely true. There is a dispute here as to whether schach requires a pasuk, doesn't require a pasuk. The opinion that schach does require a pasuk is very difficult, based on what you just said, Zoe, because, like, why should it require a pasuk? That is the definition of a sukkah. Hold that. I don't actually have a satisfactory answer to it. It's just a good question, so hold that question. But we're trying to figure out, how do I get four or three when I start with six and with the issue of schach, whether it requires a pasuk, doesn't require a pasuk? Anyone want to take a stab at this? Yael? Could I use one for schach and the other one So here's the... Let me try to understand what you're saying. To use one for schach and the other one for what? So the answer probably is yes. That the idea of being plural means I could learn two separate halachos. One from part A, one from part B. But, yeah, continue your train of thought. Right, exactly. So that leaves me four. I take one pasuk away, right? One complete pasuk away, I'm left with four, because the Torah says you have to sit in the sukkah. I need the Torah to say I have to sit in the sukkah. Great. Exactly. So that would tell me three walls and...
Maybe one is back to the top.
Right, so we have to like add a little bit of relying on the previous one, making it shorter. We're pretty close. We got from six down to four. Right? And now we're going to say, well, some say of those four, one of those four is schach. And others say of those four, schach is not one of the four. Right? Maybe, but let me hear Rachel for a second. Exactly. Right? So we're being inconsistent in the sense of that I say one complete pasuk is needed to tell me I have to sit in the sukkah. So that leaves me with four. And then what Ya'el is trying to do is to say, okay, among those four, I'll take one of those two and I'll break it in half. And one of it is for the schach and the other three are not. Right? That's sort of what you're doing. So if you read the previous Gemara carefully, there were two statements in the previous Gemara. I sort of glossed over this when I read it to cheat you. But in one place the Gemara says, Dal chad legufei, which means take away one of the numbers. I have a total of four. Remove one of the numbers. In the other place the Gemara says, Dal chad kra legufei. Remove one entire pasuk. You see that? The Ritva on this Gemara raises that issue. It's not abundantly clear how... I mean, the Ritva does have an answer to it, but I don't fully understand his answer. But the point that we're getting it at, the point that I'm trying to get at, is that sometimes I will use an entire pasuk and subtract two. And sometimes I will try Ya'el's shtick, which is that I'll pull one away and I'll be left with three. But let's go slowly. Yeah, Tanya. Meh. In other words, but let's go slowly. Of those psukim, two of those three psukim are really a mitzvah. Basukot teshvu shivat yamim, right? That's a mitzvah. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. Now, why the Torah has to say it twice is a good question. Two of those three psukim tell me sit in the psukah. What? Correct. Right. So there are two psukim, but the word basukot appears twice in the first of those two psukim. In that first of those two psukim, the word basukot, each time the word basukot appears, the Torah is saying, sit in the sukkah. Right? That's what the Torah is saying, sit in the sukkah. Now, we still have a little bit of an issue here, whether I am removing an entire pasuk, or whether I'm only removing part of the pasuk, whether I'm dividing, let's say within the number 4, I divide it into 3 plus 1 or not. So here's the thing. What I'm saying now is found in the back of the Gemara in the comment of the Maharam of Lublin. The Maharam of Lublin was a Rosh Yeshiva in Lublin at the time of the Ramah. Okay? So it goes like this. Here, let me... I like screen sharing. It's like so much fun. A sukkah is three walls, correct? If I am creative, though, I could say that my sukkah, which has three walls on the ground, really has a fourth wall. That fourth wall is the thatched roof on top of it. See, we don't usually think of this, but there are six sides to a die. There are what we would call the four walls. Then you have the floor and the ceiling. Nachon? So what I could say is as follows. I could say that the question as to whether schacha bayakra or schacha lo bayakra, the question is, do I need a pasuk for the schach? In other words, do I say that the schach itself is going to be treated as one of the sukkah walls? That I really have three walls, plus schach makes four. That's four walls. Alternatively, I'll say, no. You don't need a pasuk for schach. Schach is part and parcel. That is the definition of a sukkah. So, therefore, what I have is a total of four walls. When I am left with the number four, I start with six. I take away a complete pasuk from six, that leaves me with four. Okay, how do I use those four? Do I use those four that there are three walls plus a roof on top of those? And that equals four. Three walls plus a roof on top. And, right, like Yael said, we also have to be relying a teeny bit on the previous Gemara that we are reducing one of those walls somehow. Okay. Or do I say, no. That roof on top is not halachically a wall. That roof on top, schacha lo bayikra. You don't need a pasuk for that roof on top. Right? So therefore, when I'm left with four, I need four walls. I need a complete box. And I'll reduce that fourth wall because we said before that we'll reduce the fourth wall. Right? So what the Maharam of Lublin is contributing to this Gemara is an idea which I don't think I would have thought of intuitively, but like from when you think about it, it's not such a crazy idea that when we calculate how many walls you have of a sukkah, right? Maybe I take that schach into account, that that's also a sukkah wall, but it's a, right? It's a wall that is horizontal, not vertical. something to that effect. Yeah, so apparently it's inconceivable that we will reduce the schach wall to a tefach. Because, like you noted before, the whole definition of a sukkah is schach, and the definition of schach is that it provides shade. If you have only one tefach of stuff on top of your head, it ain't providing no shade. Right? So that's not shayach. So I have to reduce one of the other walls, one of the ground level walls. Now, which wall exactly I reduce is going to be the Gemara that we do next week, God willing. Right? You see, like on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, lots of pictures about like where that miniature wall goes. That we'll have to talk about. But what we're saying now is approach number two in the Gemara. Approach one in the Gemara is a machlokas between the Rabbonin and Reb Shimon relates to whether Yesh Im La Mikra or Yesh Im La Soras. That's the first approach in the Gemara. Does the halacha take the way the word is written more seriously? Or does the halacha take the way the word is read more seriously? That's approach one in the Gemara. Approach two in the Gemara is that no. Approach two in the Gemara is that everybody holds Yeshem LaMikra. That really the way I read the word is what governs halachically. So I begin with six. We'll knock off one complete pasuk and I have four. Then we have a question, does schach require a pasuk or does schach not require a pasuk? Meaning, right, is schach also a wall or is schach something that doesn't require a pasuk? It doesn't, we don't have to consider the schach as a wall. The schach is part of the definition of a sukkah. That's the way the Maharam of Lublin says it. Okay. Iba Yesema. Should we go on in the Gemara? Questions, comments? Ranana, you seem quiet. When I remember you, you weren't always so quiet. Baruch Hashem. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Viba Yisema, Dekuli Alma Yesh Eim L'Masoret. That really the halacha follows the way the word is written, not the way the word is read. V'hocha v'hocha miflegi. And here's the machlokas. Mar savar ki asoy hilchasa ligarei'a. U'mar savar ki asoy hilchasa l'hosef. Everyone holds Yesh Eim L'Masoret. Okay, let's make the calculation. Yeshem Masoret. So how many do I have? Masoret is the way the word is written. That means I have a total of four. One of the opinions says the halacha l'moshe miSinai reduces. And it takes from four and it makes it three. Right? And the other opinion says, no. Marsava ki asai huchasa lahosef. And the other opinion says that no, the halacha l'moshe miSinai adds on. Now, it doesn't mean adding on that you need more than four walls. Right? That's not possible, that you have more than four walls. But ligarei'a or lahosef really means that do I say that the halacha l'moshe miSinai takes... Let's go slowly. I have four, right? And of those four, I'm going to say that one of them is going to tell me that you need schach. So now I'm left with three. Then, does the halacha l'moshe miSinai make three into less than three, meaning two plus? Or does Halacha L'moshe miSinai make it into Lahosef, making it into 3 plus? Right? The way I just read the Gemara, I added a line in the Gemara. No? I don't know of any other way to read the Gemara besides this, but I just added a line. Right? Dekuli Alma Yeshen L'Masoret. We start with a total of 4. And of those 4, one of them is necessary for Schach. So I have 3. And then my question is, does Halacha L'moshe miSinai make it less than 3 or more than 3? I added a line in the Gemara about how one of those four is necessary. One of those four is necessary to teach me that there is schach. Or one of those four is necessary to teach me that I sit in the sukkah. Something to that effect. So I'm knocking four down to three. And then I have a question. Does Halacha L'Moshe Misinai add or subtract? Now, as a matter of halacha, we paskin that how many walls you need in the sukkah? Two plus a little bit, right? Shtayim Tkilchosa, two complete walls, and the third one is even a tefach. That would follow the opinion that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai's are ligarea. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai makes it less. The Rush in Bava Kamma, I put this in like the parentheses on your Marim Mekomot. The Rush in Bava Kamma in Perek Beis Simen Beis. You know, there's a Gemara, usually, you have it, page 209. Oh, okay, so tell me what it says. Excellent. You found it. Okay. Right. In other words, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is basically Torah Sheba'al Peh. No? Torah Shebichtav is very strict. Torah Sheba'al Peh takes it and makes it easier on us. The Torah Shebichtav says that if I injure you, ayin tachat ayin, you should blind me because I blinded you. Torah Sheba'al Peh says, we're nice. Don't blind the person. Pay a few dollars. No? Torah Shebichtav says you take a neder, the neder is binding. Torah Sheba'al Peh says, oh, we could get you out of the neder. Right? You'll go to a bezdin and the chacham will be okay the neder. Torah Sheba'al Peh is always midas harachamim. Torah Shebichtav is always midas hadin. The Russian Bava Kamma says, the Gemara has like a question about tsroros. Tsroros basically is that if an animal damages, the animal damages by walking on something, you pay nezek shalem, that's like the mazik of regel. Let's say the animal is walking down the street and it shoots a projectile. It steps on the rock and the rock goes flying and that flying rock breaks your window. That's called tsroros. So the Gemara says that tsroros pays chatzi nezek. You only have to pay for half of the window, you don't pay for the full window. That's Tsroros has chatzi nezek. The Gemara has a question. What does the halacha of Tsroros tell me? Does it tell me that ordinarily it should be kocho kegufo? Ordinarily, my koach, I should have been chayiv, complete damage, kocho kegufo. My power, my force, is like I did it myself, and I should be chayiv for the full value of the window. But the halacha L'Moshe Misinai says, no, we'll knock it down. Or do I say, no, kocho lav kegufo. Really, my koach I should not be chayiv for at all. I should only be chayiv if I directly damage. But if I shoot a projectile that damages, my animal shoots a projectile, maybe I should be putter. But the halacha L'Moshe Misinai is a chumra. And it says that you're chayiv something. That's a question in the Gemara. The Rush writes, even though the Gemara there in Bava Kamma leaves that question unresolved, the Rush writes that as a matter of halacha, we follow the opinion that kocho kigufo, that really you should be paying full damage when you shoot a projectile. And the halacha L'Moshe Misinai is nice to you. The halacha L'Moshe Misinai says don't pay full damage, pay half damage. And the Rush says halacha L'Moshe Misinai are always nice. Halacha Moshe Misinai is always nice because Torah Sheba'al Peh is nice. That's where Rav Shechter quotes it. He says, like, that's what the Mekubalim say. You should know, this actually makes it to the Mishnah Brura in Simen Aleph, like in the first dinam of the Mishnah Brura. No one does this, as far as I know. But you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebiksav at night, no? You're not supposed to learn Chumash and Navi at night. Nighttime, you're supposed to learn Gemara and Mishnayos, right? Don't learn Torah Shebiksav at night. Why not? Because nighttime is the Zman of Din. There's harsh judgment at night. Torah Shebiksav is Din. Too much Din will make us, right, sit there. We're going to tremble. Too much Din. So therefore, don't learn Torah Shebiksav at night. So they say not to say Tehillim at night also. Correct. That's what many poskim say, don't say Tehillim at night, unless it's like an acute situation. You're davening for somebody who's mamish, like, you know. Again, the Mekubalim are really into this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. It's not just the Mekubalim. Right? You've heard this. Right? I'm not making this up. You've heard this thing about not saying Tehillim at night. Right? Why not? Because nighttime is din. And you can't do Torah Shebiksav tough at the time of din. Now, do I understand this? Absolutely not. But is it a good shtickl Torah? Yeah, sounds cool, right? Rachel even said, like, okay, right? It doesn't sound bad, right? It's a plausible approach in this Gemara that the halacha, which would mean, by the way, that our Gemara is really addressing a very fundamental issue, which is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai creating kula, or does halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai create chumra? That's the question of whether it's ligareya or lahosef. Let's go on in the Gemara. Just want to read for, right, can we go on for like 5 more minutes or so? Yeah, let's go on. The Iba Yisema. Another approach. Everybody says that you start off with 4, and halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai makes it less. The halacha b'darshan tchilos kam b'flagi marsav darshan tchilos and marsav ein darshan tchilos. This idea of darshan tchilos is very similar to the idea that we said before, that it could be you can't learn anything from the first time the Torah says something, just because the first time the Torah says something, it's teaching you the din. So the Torah says, sit in the sukkah. Okay, now I know I have to sit in the sukkah. Grand. That's basically what it's getting at. So everybody holds, we start with 4. Everyone holds Yeshin L'Masoret. Everybody holds, we'll knock it down. The question is, do I assume that Ein Darshan Tchilot, that the first time it appears, it doesn't count at all. So therefore, I go from 4 to 3. And if I go from 3 and then I knock it down, so I end up with 2 and a little bit. Or do I say, no, it has to be 3 and a little bit because I hold Darshan Tchilot, because I hold that we can learn halacha from the first time that it appears in the Torah. Okay, so basically the Gemara so far has had 4 explanations of the Machlokas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. And all of these issues related to whether we're learning from 6 or from 4 and knocking it down, etc. We had a whole bunch of permutations. Rav Masna Omar, 5 lines on the bottom. Rav Masna says, Taimei de Reb Shimon mehacha. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'sukah tiyel etzio yomah mechorev, ulamachse ulamistar mizerem umimatar. Right, that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that a sukkah is 3 complete walls and the 4th wall is a tefach. How does he get that? Says the Gemara, he gets it from a pasuk in Yeshaya, Lesukah tiyeh letzio yomam mechorev, etc. Okay, who wants to explain this one to me? Rachel? Reb Shimon says it has to be 4 walls because 4 walls is a protection. Protection from what? It's the shade, protects you from the sun. Sukkati al-Tzeo Yomam is shade during the day. Mechorev. Chorev is like from very dry heat or something. Ulemachse, ulemastor. Machse mastor is also like two different terms for protection. Mizerem umimatar. What's zerem? So Rashi writes that zerem is the wind. No? And matar is rain. Who has a problem with this Gemara? Is the sukkah supposed to protect you from rain? No way! Right? We saw in Daf Beis Amud Aleph that according to Tosfos, if I have a sukkah that is impenetrable to rain, it is pasul. Right? So when the book of I. Again? Oh, okay. Right, so it creates it. The problem is a real problem, right? A sukkah is supposed to be, right? Reb Shimon is saying that a sukkah is supposed to be four walls. Why? Because four walls are protection. And the pasuk says, four walls protect me from zerem umimatar, protects me from wind and rain. Well, I got a few problems here. First of all, four walls doesn't mean four walls. Four walls means three walls plus a little bit. If it means three walls plus a little bit, it ain't protecting me from the wind. Because the wind is going to get through, right, that little wall. No? And it can't really protect me from rain, because a sukkah has to be the type of structure that rain could get into. If rain can't get into the sukkah, it is not a good sukkah. So, what this Gemara means... Seema, you have a comment? Okay. Again, so certainly if I have 3.5 walls, right, less wind will get in than if I have 2.5 walls, but wind will certainly get in, right? I can't say that it protects me from the wind. Now, just like half a diuk in Rashi, the pasuk says that the sukkah will protect me mizerem umimatar. Rashi writes only below arba mechitzot lav machse mizerem. Rashi says, without four walls, it's not protection from the wind. He translates zerem as the ruach meshev, etc. No? Rashi leaves the word matar out. Now, what this probably means is as follows. Rabbi Shimon is saying that a sukkah is modeled after a structure that provides protection. Protection usually means four walls. Our sukkah is an approximation of a protective structure. It's an approximation in that you need four walls, but kind of, sort of, a little bit, three plus. And it's an approximation that it's not really protecting me from rain, but bigadol, the idea of a sukkah, according to Rabbi Shimon, is something that has four walls, because bigadol, the idea is that we want a place that protects you. That's what Rabbi Shimon is really looking for, a place that protects you. And yes, right, this I would say is providing me lumdisha protection rather than realistic protection. I'm protected in lumdis based on the idea that we saw in the Rashash earlier, that like the little bit of a wall is ke'ilu, it fills in the whole space, no? So I have four walls. The wind is blowing, that's not halachic wind. Because I have a halachic wall that's protecting me. It's something along those lines. Again, if you're enough of a brisker, you can say anything. Right? That's the basic lesson over here. I'm not sure. I don't know I do know. What Reb Shimon is saying is that a sukkah is modeled after protection, but in Mitzius, right, what I just need is an approximation of something that usually protects. That's basically what the Gemara is getting at. Now, the Gemara on Zayin Amud Beis will use this opinion of Rabbi Shimon to teach me that a sukkah has to be a dirat keva. Maybe next week, God willing, we'll pick up from that point. Okay, ladies? Comments? Okay, thumbs up. Okay, chevra, yashikoach. Thank you for coming to listen, to learn, and B'li Neder will continue next week.